It's good to be here. It's quiet. Everybody's quiet. That's good. You're getting ready to hear. Hopefully hear the word of the Lord. I want to give you a quick update before I jump into this message. Welcome home to my husband. He's completed a year in Israel, if you can believe that. It's been a year since he's been gone and traveled and done work over there. It's just hard to believe how fast that year has gone, but I'm so thankful to have him back for a period of time. He does have a return ticket on June 30th. His father was recently diagnosed with cancer, so he felt it necessary to be home for a little bit longer so he can spend some time up there in Minnesota with his dad. And then we have two new grandbabies he has to get to know, so he's here for that. But it is good to have him home. He celebrated his birthday yesterday, so pat him on the back. Not too hard. He's 52. And so, anyway, I love you, honey. I'm glad you're back. So this morning, as we kind of look at this, I just have to tell you that I've wrestled really for about a month with this message, and I know it's Palm Sunday, and I went back and forth, should I, shouldn't I, you know, am I supposed to speak about that, and I just felt like I would be in direct disobedience if I didn't share with you this morning what I'm going to share. So I ask for your prayers as I speak that I will speak with the boldness of God's word, because it's a difficult subject, but I am speaking it in love to you. I've been a part of this fellowship for 19 years and have had many occasions to share my heart from this platform, and today is no different, but I really want you to know that I am speaking from a place of love and compassion for the body of Christ, and I can't change the message because it, you know, fell on a day that, you know, we recognize as something else. I have to be obedient to what I feel the Lord has told me. So it is a subject that's not often talked about, and yet it affects everyone in this room. Without question, it's a temptation to everyone more than you probably even have considered. I realize that I'm going to be hitting some tender spots this morning. I don't apologize for that. It might hurt a little bit. I also realize there may be some that would be offended at this message. It is not my intention to offend, but that there would be freedom. That at the end of this service and this message today, that if not many, that at least one would become free. And so I want to talk to you this morning about liars and the sin of lying. So let's pray. Father, I yield myself to you this morning as a vessel, as an oracle, one that you might use to speak your word. I do pray that my hands would be clean, my heart would be pure before you. I've spent many hours searching my own heart and my own life, and I ask that you would honor that and you would flow through me as I speak. I pray that by your Spirit you would speak even beyond what I say. And that, Father, you would grant a spirit of repentance to come where repentance is necessary. That each of us in this room would have ears to hear what it is that your Spirit is saying, and we would not be stiff-necked, not a stiff-necked people, but a people open to receive your word, because Your word has been given to us for life. Your word has been given to us to break the yoke of bondage that we're in. You desire to set us free that we can serve you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And so I pray that we would yield ourselves to that this morning, that we would be willing to let you do what you desire to do in our hearts and in our minds, and that there would be change that would take place within us as we sit just for this next hour and hear what you have to say. So I commit it to you, and I ask you to have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that there is a plague of lying that is in existence. It certainly has been from the beginning of time, but I've been in the ministry for many years, and I can say that the bulk of my ministry is with the church. Most of what I do has to do with people who are saved. I spend countless hours every week talking to students and people in the community and people from this fellowship and many other fellowships, trying to help them in this journey of their Christian walk. And I can honestly say that I have never seen as much deception and bold-face lying that goes on as I have seen today. It is a plague, and it's an epidemic, and it needs to be exposed. I believe that we don't have to stay under that. I don't believe it's something that God has left us powerless in, but we need to expose the darkness, and we need to come against it spiritually. What is commonplace for people in our world should not be commonplace in the church, and it is. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today, and just kind of, if you're taking notes, I'll try to do that a little bit more slowly, but we've got a lot to get through here. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 says, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." We could take those seven things and do a message on each of those, and there's plenty to say about them, but I'm going to state this as clearly as I can. Many Christians have been infected with this plague of deception. They have become liars, and God hates it. It's just as clearly as I can put it. God has listed in his top 10 list of commandments from Exodus 20, verse 16, that you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Proverbs 25:18 says, "A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow." In other words, when you lie, you are like a carnal weapon of destruction. You no longer are a vessel used for the master. You are a destructive weapon in the hands of the enemy. No one has to be told that lying is wrong. No one has to be told that it's a sin. We all believe that lying is evil. There's not a one of you in this place, I would think, that would think that it is good. Not even the unsaved, however, believe that it's okay to lie to people. They expect the truth to be told to them. We work with an individual in Israel who is unsaved. Everybody we work with in Israel is unsaved. not for long, but they are right now. But this person has absolutely no respect and no regard for someone who lies. And yet when confronted with their own acts of deception, when those things were confronted, their response to their own deception was, well, what is truth? There is no absolute truth. It's just whatever will work in that particular situation. I mean, really, what is truth? And they have, at the same time, such a frustration and an anger toward those who would lie to them. Ephesians 4:25 says, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And I'm speaking today to the body of Christ, to you all, and to those that confess to be believers. Because as Christians, when we lie, we breach our fellowship with others. There's a breach that takes place, and we no longer can commune with one another in truth when we are lied or lied to. That fellowship is hindered, and sometimes it's completely cut off. Sometimes there is a church discipline that needs to take place, or there's a fellowship we no longer feel that we can believe what's being said to us, or someone may not believe us because of the lies that we have told. Psalms 15, 1 and 2 says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. See, you cannot lie and expect to abide in God's tabernacle. You'll be cut off from his presence. And you'll be cut off from fellowship with others. You need to understand that the word of the Lord is true. And when we enter into deception, when we partake of lies, and we speak them at whatever level, we are choosing to be cut off from fellowship with God and with man. Man within the body of Christ. So many times people will lie and then believe that God has spoken to them about something, that he has directed them, or his word is directing them in some way, whatever it is that they're praying about. They say, well, I've prayed about this, and I know that it's God, and yet there's been deception in their heart. They have become deceived. You cannot lie. You can't have a deceptive heart and hear from God correctly. Psalms 51:6 says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. So he talks about truth, and then he talks about wisdom, and we pray for wisdom. We cry out for wisdom. God, show me what your will is, or give me wisdom, because I lack it. And yet, it will only come in the parts of our heart that are clean. The parts of our hearts that truth is to reside in, he will not grant you wisdom because he desires truth there first. John 4:24 says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I wonder how many of us, before we walk into this place on Sunday mornings, are cleansed. We raise our hands and we worship him. And I am not saying that singing and calling out adoration unto the Lord is not the only form of worship, but how often we come into, or we think we come into his presence, and yet our hearts are deceived. We've just got done lying to our family member or our neighbor, and we come in here and think we can worship the Lord. He will not receive your worship because it's coming from an unclean heart. To lie is to reject our sonship. To lie is to align ourselves with the father of lies. John 8:44 says that Satan is a liar, and he is the father of lies. And when we participate in deception and in lies, we are now being aligned with the father of lies, not the God of truth. When we lie, we align ourselves with everything that brings death, corruption, and destruction into this world. I carry such a burden for God's people to be delivered from this, that we would be so sensitive to the things that we say and how we say them and what we repeat. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what I'm here trying to do this morning. I want to expose the works of darkness. And if it's in your life, if it's something that you feel that you struggle with, let's expose it. Let's, in this place, get real before God and expose it and bring about repentance and get the freedom so that you no longer have to be controlled by deception. I want to call you today to a higher standard, to expose darkness and to take a stand against it so that we'll have nothing to do with it. I know that deception is out there, it's out in the world, but I want you to be able to trust the words that I say, and I want to have fellowship with you and trust the words that you say. I want there to be a mutual ability in the body of Christ to be able to say what they speak is the truth. I know that's what you require of me. I know that's what you require of your spouse. I know that's what you require, but then you need to require it of yourself. Deception should have no place in the life of a believer. No place whatsoever. Last year, my granddaughter Bethany, she was 3 years old at the time. She was 3 years old. She was born into a Christian marriage. She has been taught the Word of God. The Word of God has been prayed over her from the womb. She has godly parents who have raised her and trained her up and teach her the truth. And yet she had to be taught at 3 years old what a lie was. She had to be taught that she could not lie and be pleasing to the Lord. And I remember it was really a difficult lesson. How do you teach a child what a lie is? And so I remember one day being in the dining room, and Bethany had lied. She was in a little period, a season where she was learning about lying, and she lied about something. I don't even remember what it was, and it was just, she had done maybe written on the wall, or I don't know what she did. She did something, but she denied it, said she didn't do it, and she knew that she had, but she, and her parents knew she had, but she said, no, I didn't do it. And so Jacob and Naomi had to discipline her and teach her, train her, that she was not to lie. And I remember finally, after a number of times, her saying, no, I didn't. No, I didn't do it. And then finally her breaking and confessing her sin. And I remember her crying, and it was so painful. But it was so true. It was so true. And I heard multitudes of adults wishing they could say this. But it came out of the mouth of a 3-year-old. And she stood in the kitchen and And she said, she's crying, and she said, it's so hard to tell the truth. It's so hard to tell the truth. What a profound statement coming from a three-year-old. It is painful sometimes. It's easier to want to be socially accepted, to be non-confrontational, to cover our mistakes, than to tell the truth and to face the consequences. The temptation to lie is very real, but you must overcome it. So why do people lie? Why is this such a problem? Generally, it's for two reasons. Because of fear and because of pride. We lie to protect ourselves from rejection or disapproval of man. We lie because we don't want others to know that we've failed or that we don't know what we're doing. We lie because we have a fear of man that is greater than our fear of God. Sometimes lying becomes a stronghold in our lives. A person's heart can become so deceived because they lie so often, they actually will begin to believe their own lies. And then they get angry when others don't believe the lies they're telling. That's deception. People lie because sometimes they truly believe it's acceptable. You know those little white lies? So I want to call some of those little white lies out today to expose them to the light. Honey, tell them I'm not home. Found out somebody was in the hospital and you say, oh, I prayed for you, when you didn't. You know what? I can't talk right now, but I'll call you tomorrow when you have no intention of calling. We lie to children about Santa Claus. We slander people in secret just a little to discredit their character. Ecclesiastes 10:20 says, do not revile the king even in your thoughts. Don't revile him even in your thoughts. Or curse the rich in your bedroom. Because a bird in the sky may carry your words. And a bird on the wing may report what you say. Little white lie, the check is in the mail. When the creditor calls. All exaggerations are little white lies. Hey, brother, have you changed the oil in a car before? Oh, a million times. A million times. Even in a testimony, exaggerations are lies. We give half-truths. We don't necessarily say anything, but just we'll give half a truth and hope that the other half isn't exposed. Why do you think in a court of law they make you put your hand on a Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Broken promises are just those little white lies. Honey, I ran out of time to take you today to the store, but I promise tomorrow I will. And you have no intention tomorrow because you know you're going to be too busy. These are just empty words, and our integrity is damaged each time we do that. We gossip, we repeat stories as if we were there. Oh, and then they said this. And I know this is what they meant when they said that. We're not even in the conversation. It has nothing to do with you. We suggest through a tone or insinuation about something or someone. We will have a particular way that we deliver a story, and or we'll repeat something that we've said. I get people in my office all the time, marriage issues, and they come in, the wife will come in, and she'll say, and I just told my husband. And I'm thinking, no, you didn't just tell your husband that. I can only imagine the words and how they came out of your mouth when you actually spoke that to your husband. Psalms 55:21 says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. What is the definition of a white lie? The definition of a white lie is listed as this: a trivial lie, especially one told to avoid hurting someone's feelings. A diplomatic or well-intentioned untruth. It's also listed as a harmless lie. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. Little white lies are still sin. Tom tells the story of a little boy who saw a deer head mounted up on a wall. And he was talking to an adult that had come in the room about this deer head, and the adult said, the body is on the other side of the wall. And so this little guy, he ran around the wall to see the body hanging from the other side. And it wasn't there. And the guy got laughs about it, and the kid was very confused. And see, we laugh at those types of things, but it's a lie. And in the mind of that child, a seed was planted of doubt that that adult could be trusted. And we give high fives to people that can make a child laugh, but you just planted something in that child. Amen. Where they don't believe you, and I'd like to see their response when you try to tell them Jesus Christ is alive and well. One area that we often lie in is in our humor. They might be clean jokes. They might even be called Christian jokes. Jokes filtered in through a message. Seeing this happen more and more often, where messages are just filtrated through these jokes to make people laugh and lighten the mood. And we may get laughs, but if they're not truth, they're still a lie. And we have violated God's word. You see, the more that we lie, to whatever degree, the more our conscience is seared. This is why I believe it's such an epidemic today, because we have no fear of the Lord in this area. We can say what we want even from the pulpit. We've become so brazen in what we laugh about and what we say. 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That's what happens every time we lie. And it's easy to sit and point the finger at others, but I want to expose it in my life. I want it to be exposed in yours. I pray that you'll be bold to look at your life, to see statements that you may make that you may think are just not that big of a deal, but are actually in disobedience to God's holy word. So what is a lie? What is a lie? We need to ask ourselves, am I a liar? What is a liar? What classifies someone as a liar? You see, I've heard people say, well, you know, occasionally, I do, but I'm not a liar. Have I been infected with this plague? Do I have a reputation as a liar? Do other people think that I am? Or do people believe what I say is true? A lie is to make a statement you know is false, especially with the intent to deceive. It is to give a false impression, a false action, or a false statement with the intent to deceive. It is to make a false statement in order to evade the truth. If you make a false statement that has to do with anything, if you make a false statement that has to do with anything, you are lying. If you withhold information knowing that it's misleading someone away from the truth, you are lying. If you are saying something false in order to avoid the truth, you are lying. And if you are lying, you are a liar. You say, wow, that's a little bit harsh. Well, when is it that you classify someone as a liar? How would you play that out in your head? Well, if I lied more than 10 times, then I am a liar. Well, what types of lies are acceptable? What degree is? Is it just the big lies? Well, what's a big lie? If you lie, you are a liar. This Friday, we're remembering how Jesus Christ suffered and how he died a brutal death by crucifixion because all mankind were liars and sinners and could not overcome Satan. And we have deceived ourselves into believing that to lie is not that big of a deal. And as long as nobody finds out, I'm not hurting anyone. Let me tell you, you are hurting Jesus Christ, and you've sinned against him. You're trampling through the blood that he shed for your salvation. Lying is not just a little bad habit. Lying has consequences which could shape the rest of your future or the future of those that you are lying about, even eternally. And I want to make a side note here. If you know that you have lied about someone, you need to go back to those that you spoke to and you need to make it right. You need to go to all those that you gossiped to and slandered somebody's name and you need to tell them that you lied about that situation or that individual. Because it has eternal consequences. You don't know where that bird is going to fly. And you don't know who he's going to talk to. And you can't go back and Jody does this little message to the kids, and I think I should have brought one in here. He talks about our words and how we speak and slander someone, and every time we do, we push that toothpaste out of that holder, and then we say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That wasn't the truth, and we repent, and that's awesome, but yet the toothpaste will never get back into that container. Matthew 15:18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. What comes out of our mouths proceeds from our heart. It's what is in the heart. And if we lie to any extent, we need a heart cleansing. We need to stop justifying our actions of deception. If we lie, our hearts are evil, and we have aligned ourselves with the father of lies. We have fallen so far away from this truth and watered this down. We can lie without blinking an eye. We can lie without a twinge of conviction. And Satan is pleased. He's very pleased. He's pleased because the kingdom of hell is increasing. Because we are in the church, have found it commonplace to lie. Revelation 21:7-8 says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and we love that. We love that verse because we're overcomers. He goes on to say, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Period. We love that. Yes. We're going to live eternally with him because we're overcomers. However, in verse 8, he says, but the cowardly or the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We have to wake up. We have to see that God's word has a lot to say about this subject. We have to believe God's word. We have to align ourselves with the truth. People say, so what are you saying, Tina, that if I lie, I'm going to hell? Yeah. You know, why are we looking for a way to comfort people on their way to hell? Why are we looking for a way to say, well, you know, it's not, I mean, he's grace and he's merciful and he's kind. No, what I'm saying is if you are lying, you're going to hell. That's what I'm saying. And I'm also saying that there is a God who sent his son to die that you would not. I'm also saying that there is a way of escape for you. I'm also saying that there is hope for you that are caught in a web of deception. But I'm not going to change the script in order to keep you feeling comfortable. To say that, well, you know, if you lie, it's, you know, it just depends, and it's okay, and God understands, and he understands. No, it says that all liars will partake in a lake of fire. And if I have a fear of the Lord, if I have the truth in my heart, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. Because my lips have been touched by the coal. My tongue is under the control of the Holy Spirit. I will not allow myself to say anything that is deceptive. We have to align ourselves back with God our Father, who cannot lie. Who's your Father this morning? Titus 1:2 says, God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 says it's impossible for him to lie. Who's your father? Amen. Who is your father this morning? Amen. His words are pure. No lies, no deceit is found within them. None. There's nothing hidden. Everything is transparent with him, and you are too. Who is your father this morning? Romans 12, I love this scripture. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. God cannot lie. His every word is pure. James 5:12 says, above all, brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. Speak the truth. Don't say yes when it should be no. Don't say no when it should be yes. I believe deception and lying, a lying tongue, is destroying our world, and judgment is going to come because of it. No one believes our elected government officials on either side. Businesses are full of deception. Marketing is successful because of deceptive ads and empty promises. Courtrooms are full of deception. Sadly, messages from the pulpits of many churches are full of lies and manipulation. We have false prophets saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not said. We have parents lying to children about holiday characters, fairies, and 100 other fibs that one day they will give an account for. And we have children then lying to their parents, and parents not understanding why their children are deceptive. We have to pray. We have to repent. And we have to become free from this epidemic of deception. Charles Spurgeon said this statement. He said, saints not only desire to love and speak truth with their lips, but they seek to be true within. They will not lie even in the closet of their hearts, for God is there to listen. They scorn double meanings, evasions, equivocations, white lies, flatteries, and deceptions. You see, deception is something we need to utterly destroy in our life. We don't need to wink at it, laugh at it, overlook it, justify it, tolerate it. It needs to be obliterated. It needs to be destroyed. We need to have a hatred for it. Yes. Lying is a grievous sin on all levels. As was already stated this morning, Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We need a clean heart, a clean heart. And you cannot change your heart through your power, through your will power. You need the Holy Spirit and a deep transformation by God to create a clean heart. Are you desperate for a clean heart? Do you understand the consequences of a heart that is unclean before God? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we want to come to the Father, we must come through the truth. We must come through the truth of Jesus Christ. We can't come through deception or deceit of any kind. See, repentance is available. Repentance is offered to everyone. And it's going to be extended this morning to you. Davion, would you come? I am not singling anybody out here, but I have seen this epidemic come against the church in general, as well as ministries, lies just seeping in, and people tolerating it. We have to take a stand against it. We cannot allow it any longer to become commonplace. I am going to open the altars this morning. And I realize that some may not come to the altar because of their pride, but that's why you're deceptive. The deception has come because of pride, and if you won't make a step to come to this altar to repent, you're not ready to get free from your deception. But I also realize there are those of you here that have really been purged. They've really gone through the fire, and you are pure in heart when it comes to deception, and you're willing to take a stand to expose this, to not be silent about it. And I encourage you to stand and to be a voice against it. And there's three individuals that I have asked to come and pray over you, over the church in general, over ministries, because I know that God has done a work in their heart and given them a passion to see the church free. And so I'm going to ask them to come and pray. But the altars are open because you really need to examine and be certain that you are right before God, that the coal has been set to your lips, that you are not going to align yourself with deception, that you're not going to just believe it's okay to tell little white lies and to be underneath the stronghold of Satan. And so I'm going to ask Shelby and Linda and Miss Betty Miller to come forward. I've already spoken with them. If you'd come up and begin to pray. The time is short. And we need to stand in the gap for those that are caught in this lie, and for those who have been deceived. For those who don't know the truth from a lie anymore, that would be unmoved by deception. Y'all come on up.
Father, I just want to thank you today for Jesus, for the blood that has made this new and living way into your presence, to the throne of grace, that we can find grace to help in time of need. God, we are needy people. Oh, God. We need your truth in inward parts now more than ever before. God, we cry out with the psalmist, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, expose the works of darkness, as Tina's preached. Lead me in your everlasting way, O God. I thank you today, Lord God, that you have sent us your word. Your word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, we cry out today that you would divide asunder today between soul and spirit and bone and marrow, and you would expose the thoughts and intents of our heart, Lord God. We cry out for your light. Oh God, shine your light into this dark and depraved world. Lord, we want to be sons of God, showing forth the word of truth in this wicked and perverse generation, God. But you must shine your light into our hearts and into our minds. You must purge us and cleanse us. Help us to be lovers of the truth, God. Help us to allow you to expose our deeds, manifest our deeds, manifest our thoughts and intents before you. Lord, we cry out for your Holy Spirit to come. You've promised that if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. We don't want to be deceived, Lord. We don't want to sow to the flesh and protect our flesh. We want to expose and cut off the flesh, Lord. Circumcise our hearts today. And God, we thank you that your word promises that he that comes to the light will know the truth. And we want to be your disciples. We want to know the truth, and we want to be set free today. And so we just cry out for that. Make us your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we just thank you today, Lord. We come to you today, Father. We need you so much today, Father. We just want to tell you how much we need you and how much we love you, Father. Father, we need your help. We need you to strengthen us so we can lay down that fear and lay down that pride, Father, where we can come and repent before you, Father, and tell you of our sins, Lord, and confess unto you and be forgiven, Father, where we can have clean hands and a pure heart, Father. Father, help us to walk in the spirit of truth, Lord. Just guide and direct our thoughts, Father, and our paths, Lord, that we might not say vain or idle things, Father, things that don't matter, Lord. Father, help us not to embellish the truth, Lord, but to speak only pure truth. Let our yes be yes and our no be no, Lord. Father, we seek your will in our lives, Father. We just want to walk after you, Father. And the spirit of deception has no place in your walk, Father. We know that. We stand against that spirit today, Father. We stand against it as a body. We stand against the spirit of deception. Satan, you have no power over this body. You have no power over any of these people, Father. Protect us from the Satans. Protect us from the evil one, Lord. Satan, release the bondage of these people, Father. Release the bondage of lies. You are the author of the lies, Satan. And right now we say, be gone. Be gone from our lives. Be gone from this body. Be away from us. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for victory. We thank you that we can walk in victory. We thank you that through your blood and through your power that we can walk in victory over deception, over lies, and over the temptation to lie. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We need your help. We are your people and you are our God, Lord, and we declare that today. We just ask that we glorify you in all things in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Father God, we just want to thank you this morning. I personally want to thank you, Father God, for that you love us so much that you expose things that's in our hearts, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you are teaching me to walk in your truth through the Holy Spirit. I lift up this whole family to you right now, Lord, and I pray if there's any deception, Father God, that we will begin to speak the truth, that we will let the enemy know that he has no more power over us. Father God, I thank you for this freedom that I have today. I thank you for your grace, for it is so amazing. As the song said today, I'm just speechless. I thank you so much, Father God, for deliverance. I thank you for freedom. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that we will all be set free, that we will walk in truth, and that we will give you glory with our lives, Father God. Right now, Father God, I lift up this congregation to you, and I thank you today that the hearts that have been touched, Father God, I pray if it was any offense anywhere, Father God, that you would just begin to show them why there was offense there. And I thank you right now, Father God, as you have begun a good work in us, Father God, and you said that you would complete it. And we're believing and trusting in your word, that you are truth and you alone are truth. And I thank you so much that you love us so much that you did not let me stay where I was. I thank you so much for this family right here. I love you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We are desperate for you, Lord. We know that Jesus is soon to return, and we do not want to be stuck and hear him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Even the little white lies must go. And we thank you right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands. Oh, give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands. Oh, give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. And oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. And oh God, let us be a generation seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And give us give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And give us clean hands. Don't give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Let us not lift our souls to another. Let us not lift our souls to another.
John 8:32 says, the truth will set you free. But when you look at the opposite side of that, a lie will keep you bound. It's not too late. You can still come to the altar. We don't have a set time. The altar call is not over. If you want to be set free, if you don't want to remain bound, it's the truth that will set you free.